In Jesus' name we pray. Speak to our hearts. Amen. Amen. You can take your seats. Now, I'm continuing with this series called The Shift. And over the last several weeks, and just to remind you, I know some of you hoping that the women were going to be speaking, Sister Michelle and Sister Jane, but they're going to be speaking next week, because how many of you know it's Mother's Day next week, amen? Are the mothers in the house? Are the mothers in the house? Amen, amen. The word shift means movement, it means to move or cause to move, it means to relocate. Shift means to move to a new place and make one's home there. Shift, the word shift has the emphasis of moving, movement, it indicates a journey. Last week I read the same portion of scripture, and I'll read it again. In Hebrews 11, 8 through to 10, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive his inheritance, he obeyed. Someone say he obeyed. And he went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city and foundation, whose architect and builder is God. So we see that Abraham, he was called to go to a place. He didn't know where he was going, but he went in obedience to God. He was on a journey. God was shifting him from one place to another. Amen. And he went by faith in obedience to God. I want us to ponder on this thought today. As I was preparing this message, the Lord dropped it in my spirit that we would ponder on this thought today. Is it possible that you're here today to fulfill God's assignment because someone else refused to fulfill it? Is it possible that you're here today because someone else was called to a task and they began, but they couldn't finish it, and you're here today? Do you get me? It's a thought just to ponder on. To ponder on. Am I here because somebody was called to do what I'm doing and they didn't do it, so God called me and he's raising me up to do what somebody else should have done? Is it possible that God's calling you to do something, and if you don't do it, and if I don't do it, then God will... Anyway, let me move on from there. In Acts, let me just bring some scripture, just to back it up. In Acts chapter 1, verse 15, it says this. Acts chapter 1, verse 15, it says this. We read from verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, Men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these... Oh, sorry. I'm moving on. Okay. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of his disciples, altogether the number and the names were about 120, and said, Men and brethren, the scripture has been fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. Someone say in this ministry. Now this man purchased the field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his entrails gushed out, and it became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem, so that the field is called in their own language, Akel Dama, that is the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, Let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one dwell in it, and let another take his office. I like the NIV, it says, and let the other take his place of leadership. Let another take his place. He was a part of us. Judas was a disciple with the 12. He was moving with Jesus. He was on the journey, Jesus called him. Judas followed him for 3.5 years. He had a high position in the ministry. He would have been the head of administration or one of the trustees. He was looking after the money. We won't go into the full story. We know he was a thief because he used to take money from time to time. Hello, somebody. But Jesus still loved him. Still let him kiss him on the cheek. Still called him a friend, even though he betrayed him. But then when he betrayed him and he cut out on Jesus, Peter said, well, we need somebody else to step into his place and take over the ministry. How many of you know that there are times when God calls us to do something that we have to fulfill the calling? My wife said it. Do you know your calling? Men, wives, do you know your calling? We need to fulfill the ministry. Because God is able to raise others up and replace us. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, fulfill your ministry. And the reason why I want us to ponder on this thought is because I really want us to consider why God has called us to do his will. Why me, O Lord? Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5 talks about Jesus fulfilling his ministry. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5 reads like this, and says, and therefore when he came into this world, he said, sacrifice and offering you didn't desire, but a body you have prepared for me in burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will. Why me, Lord? Why would you call me? Why would you call me? Why would God call you to do his will? There is a plan for your life. There is a purpose for your life. There is a plan for my life. And it is to do God's will. Jesus, it says of Jesus, I am here, I have come to do your will. Now let me say this, that the call of God, fulfilling God's will, is not for the faint-hearted. Oftentimes, walking with God can bring about a variety of emotions. Great highs, great lows, ups and downs, bouts of depression, thoughts of wanting to quit, people lying and cheating on you, stabbing you in the back. I often say when I speak to certain guys that they look at ministry and, you know, they look and they see lights, they see camera, they see action, they see choir, they see full band, they see packed auditorium, hello somebody, amen, amen. But they don't see the grind. They don't see when pastor's in the car crying and his wife crying. They don't see, you know, I was talking, you know, let me put this in a little bit of perspective, because one of the biggest churches in the nation is Hillsongs. And Pastor Gary from Hillsongs says, we're still lugging equipment every Sunday to church. We ain't got our own building yet. And sometimes we, anyway, let me stop. There's various emotions. And many times these young guys that, Pastor, I want to be a pastor, man. You know, God's called me to be a pastor. I'm like, are you sure? Are you sure God's called you to be a pastor? Do you know what it entails? To shift means to journey with God. Walking with God means going and doing what God has called you and I to do. To walk with God by faith means trusting in God regardless of what season we may be in right now. Oftentimes, many Christians fail to see the end of particular seasons that they're in because they're going through difficult seasons. Let me say that again. Oftentimes, Christians fail to see the end of a particular season that they're in because they're going through a difficult season. They don't cross the proverbial finish line of that season. For some, they may have to go back to the starting block all over again. But for some, they may just choose to settle with where they're at, and they cannot see the fruit that would be that they would bear if they had completed the season that God had in them. Are you with me? In Genesis chapter 11, verse 31, we read that Sarah was barren. We read that Sarah could not have children. Abraham's father, Terah, was called to go to Canaan. However, he settled in Haran. He settled when he and didn't go any further than he should have. He stopped and remained in Haran. And what I love about Victory Outreach Ministry, we're a movement. We're a movement. We're more than a ministry. Victory Outreach International is more than a ministry. We're a movement. We're a ministry that's on the move all over the world. How, man, I met a girl from South London in Cape Town. Amen. You have to be on the move. Amen. You heard Sister Michelle, you've got to go to conference, man. You've got to be at the Miami. We're booking our ticket tomorrow. Amen. Tomorrow morning. Amen. We're booking our ticket. We're getting ready to go. Amen. You don't know who you're going to meet. You don't know who's going to come here. Well, because we're a ministry on the move. We're a ministry on the move. We're a ministry all over the world. And even here in London, we've not stood still. We started out in Hammersmith. We went down to Shepherd Bush. How many of you are in Shepherd Bush in Becklow Road days? We went from Becklow Road to Acton. We went from Acton, we came to Hackney. We came to Hackney last year. Amen. We came to Hackney, we went to Pembury. And from Pembury, we said, you know what, let's just begin to think big. We want to do something big. That place is too small for us. Even though we were still small, we were still thinking big. And we said, you know what, let's come to the auditorium, we come to the school, and we had the little room. We're going to be back in there next week. We're going to be doing a drama, just for a little heads up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But we said, you know what, we came, we saw the auditorium. We said, yeah, let's take the auditorium. Amen. Because how many of you know, we're thinking of moving. And then how many of you know, there's another space here that holds 800 people. Ooh, come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. I'm in agreement. Because I've always believed in my spirit that the gang was always going to be bigger than the elders. And the elders were goodies. It's the gang in the house. We're a movement. We've not stood still. We've not settled. We will not settle until we're in our promised land. We are not going to settle until we build a base. We are not going to settle until we launch our churches. We're not going to settle until we see young men and young women rise up, hear the call of God, want to answer the call of God, and say, you know what, God, here I am. Send me! Yeah. We're not settling. We're not settling for second best. In fact, you know what, we're not settling with this school. Amen. We're believing, yes, we're just passing through. Listen, everybody, we're just passing through. We're passing through until God opens up a door that we have our own place, we have our own base, we have a place where we're going to, it's going to be like a, what do you call those, like an army base. And then my wife will even prophesy to the dry bones here in Hackney, the dry bones in London. Because we're believing God's going to raise up an army, and we're going to send out. So Brixton, we're going in South London. We're going to Brixton, Pittsburgh, and I only believe we're going to plant the church in Elephant and Castle. We're going to take Hillworth and Campbellworth and Open Road and all around those parts of Bermondsey and then South West London into Brixton, into Stratton and Clapham and Stockport. Come on, Lord, say amen. It's South London in the house. What about North London? What about Compliment, Edmonton, and Wood Green? Reaching the Green Band and the Great Band. Come on, some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. You gotta get with it! You gotta move with the times, man! Come on, someone. And then there's West London. We're gonna go back into West London. See, I think we're gonna send you to South, because she goes west.
So we just need to get our husband, amen. Hallelujah. And then we're not done because there's influence. And then there's knowledge. Tell somebody, I'm always praying for influence to know. And Bournemouth and Southampton and Portsmouth. You ain't hearing me. Portsmouth. Southampton. Oh, you ain't hearing me. You're going to catch this. Ipswich and Norwich. My God. So I'm telling you, heard my wife, don't pray. See, you don't know this morning how I was feeling. I'm fighting the devil here. See, there's been times when I've even had people say, don't prophesy. You're losing people. Because you know what, that's my gift. And I'm prophesying, we're victory army, we're a church planting ministry, there's a great way coming. Come on, somebody, we're going to plant churches, we're going to take London, we're going to change the... We didn't even know why we changed the name to Greater London Church. Hello. I know we ain't took up the offering. I know we ain't done no announcements. We're not settling. Abraham's father had set out to go to Canaan. That was the plan. That was the plan for Abraham's father's life. That was the plan for Abraham's father's family. Canaan was the plan. The route was already mapped out. Haran means a caravan route. Abraham's father should have just been passing through Haran, but he settled in Haran. God had already mapped out the caravan route. The camels should have passed through Haran. The flocks should have passed through Haran. The sheep, the donkeys, the family should have passed through Haran. But they settled in Haran. It was a caravan route. The route was already mapped out. The plan was already in place to get to Canaan. But God of terror settled in Haran. Is there anybody here who's settling in Haran this morning? He settled in Haran. He settled his family in Haran. When he should have been passing through. Abraham's father settled for what should have been, he settled in the place that would be the place where he would die. You see, sometimes when we don't follow the plan of God, how many of you know we can settle in a place and it feels like we're dying? Don't get me wrong, I'm telling you, when I'm talking to you out of experience. Probably more experience than some, but maybe not as much as experience as many. But enough experience to know that there have been days when I'm just like, I just want to settle. Maybe I could just settle and get a job. I've got my little NBQ free. Hello. In social care. Maybe I can just get a little job in the prison, in a children's home, because I ain't got much education, but I've got enough that I can just sell. When it gets really hard, yeah, I'm going to say it, Lord. When I've got a little young boy called Nelson from the drama club helping me put up all the equipment. All by myself, me and little Nelson. And I didn't even ask him, I was going to ask him. And he saw me struggling with my dodgy leg and my hip knocked out the socket. Yeah, I'm having a pity party. And the little young boy says, can I help you? And then I have to sit in my car and phone the pastor. Can I have my little pit party? That's not even from Victory Outreach. Don't go to a pastor for this one. Crying in my car. I know we're in the age where people record stuff. That's alright, I'm sure Pastor, look at Teddy. I'm sure Pastor Paul has his faith. But there I am in the car, man. Nearly having a breakdown. I had to find a pastor. Find a reverend. He prayed for me. Praise the Lord. And then he said, don't leave your people. No, I'm not settling, man.
Come on.
I'm not settling. We're not settling.
That's right.
We're going to go through what we're going to go through. I'm not going to die settling when I know what God's called me to. You see, the effects of not fulfilling the call of God implicates other people. Oftentimes we take God's calling very lightly. Many times we only think about ourselves and we don't realize the impact our disobedience can have on others. Many times we can live a blasé Christian life. But when the going gets tough, we need the tough to get going to fulfill the call of God upon their life. Can someone say amen? Amen. See, doing your part brings life to others. When you do what God's called you to do, it brings life to others. See, terror didn't do what he should have done. And it caused his family to settle in Haran. In Genesis chapter 11 verse 30, it's a very, very weird text. In the midst of Abraham receiving his calling to leave his father's house and Terah leaving Haran to come to Canaan. We see God in verse 30 says, Sarah was barren and she had no children. It's almost like it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And a few weeks ago we spoke about if we're going to shift, we need maturity. We can't be living on baby food. Amen. Because when God is shifting us, he'll speak things to us that's not going to make sense. You'll look around here and you'll think it just doesn't make sense. But many times when God is about to birth something, when he's about to blow something up, begin to explode, we have to understand seasons of barrenness and what that entails and how we understand God in those seasons. Sarah was barren, she had no children. Remember, Abraham had followed his father and he also settled in Haran. Sarah was barren. Being barren oftentimes means it's difficult to see the future ahead. When you're 18, you're dry and nothing is going on for you. You can't get a job. Maybe you can't have kids. Maybe you're looking for a relationship and maybe God's stopping certain relationships and it's like you're barren. The ministry's not, doesn't seem like it's growing. And oftentimes when there's barrenness, it's difficult to see the future ahead. Being barren is a challenge to believe what's beyond right now. See, I don't know what season you're in. You might be in a fruitful season where it's hallelujah, praise the Lord, I'm on the mountaintop, my life's bearing all kinds of fruit. But you might be here today and you're in the valley, you're in a barren season. And let me tell you something, if you're in the fruitful, hallelujah, praise the Lord, you're in that season, trust me, turn to your neighbor and say, get ready for the barren season. The journey that they were taking should have perhaps brought excitement. We're going to Canaan! However, they settled in Haran. Barrenness can cause a person to give up. Especially, listen to this. Especially the older folk, because it's the new wave, third wave in the house. It's the old folk in the house. Man, I don't say that. But listen to this, as we get older, we can tend, to, in a barren season, as we get older, we can tend to think that God doesn't care about my situation. I'm talking to people that are like in your 40s, approaching your 40s, approaching into your 50s, and you've got promises. You've got promises. And if you're young, you better hold on to this one because you're going to need it, amen? Because, I mean, you know, we're setting things up here for you. We're setting things up here for you. We're setting things up here for you. Because there's going to come a time. I'm not going to be able to even do a lot of what I'm doing now. Because the young people are going to be doing it. When the church becomes a mega church, all I'm going to be able to do, and my wife, is bring direction. It's going to be Amos preaching and CJ preaching and my sister leading the worship and Sandra teaching and me and Milton. Well, maybe they're going to have to wheel Milton in. And then Daryl put in the teeth so Daryl can sing. Hallelujah. Because as we get older and we're in our barren seasons, we can think God doesn't care. Barrenness can dim our vision for the future. We begin thinking that things will always remain the same. And so what can happen is we can settle in Haran. Another name for Haran, besides it being a caravan route, Haran means to be a mountaineer, to be a mountaineer. See, we have to keep on climbing for higher heights. That's why I like that second song, there's no limits. Amen. We need to be always looking up, looking beyond where we're at right now. Even though we might be in a barren season. One thing I've always been, even in the world, trust me, even when I've had no money in my pocket, my cup's always been half full. I've always been an optimist. It's never been half empty, it's always been half full. I've always seen life that way. Something is always, like my wife has this saying about me, I don't know how, but things just seem to fall into your lap. You know, because I've always had an optimistic view on life, and even when I was a drug addict. Amen. There was one time I always thought I was going to be a drug addict, but I snapped out of it. Amen. I began to think there's got to be something good inside of me. I'm not so bad. There's got to be. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And we need to be looking up, having a mountaineering type of spirit. Amen. We have to have the capacity to see in the face of barrenness, because barrenness is not the last word for your life. You're in a barren season, it's not the last word. Barrenness is a challenge to our future, but barrenness is not the last word. Genesis 12, verse 1 through to 4 says that God gave Abraham a word. He says, Abraham, get out of the country, get your family out, get out from your father's house to a land I'm going to show you. I'm going to make you a great name. I'm going to bless you. Your name's going to be great. You're going to be a blessing. And last week we talked about being a blessing, to be blessed, to be a blessing. He said, I'm going to bless you. Amen. I'm going to bless you. And those who curse you, I'm going to curse them. All the families of the earth, they're going to be blessed. And he departed. And God began to bless him. See, but what I want us to focus on here is that even in barrenness, God can give you a word. In your barren season, God can speak to you. See, the word for Abraham and his family, this word, it was a word in his barrenness. It was a word in his wife's barrenness that God spoke to them about blessing. See, we have to understand there's a parallel between barrenness and blessing. That's why many times we get, and you know, I'll tell you, man, Pastor Sonny said something powerful. I mean, it rocked my world. I was in America in December, and he said something. And I've been waiting for someone, from our ministry to say what he said, because I've heard others say it, but when your founder says it, it just validates things more because of the vision we have and the promises we have. And he said, you know what? I've seen people give up just before God was going to bless them. And it can be like a cliche. I've heard it so many times. But when he said it, man, it just struck a chord with me. See, because barrenness can become the door to new life. You might be in a barren season, but your barrenness could be the door to new life right now for you. See, there are many people that are barren in this city that God wants to give new life to. That's why we have our Stop the Violence on. That's why we're putting on Stop the Violence in April the 11th. And we're inviting all these different ministers to come. Because we want to be at the forefront as a ministry in this city to say, you know what? Man, there's people out there that weren't believing they can have new life. They can come out of gangs. They can come out of drugs. They can come out of prostitutes. They can come out of abuse. They can come out of homelessness. Come on, somebody. There's young people, man, that can have new life again. See, barrenness is not the final word for your life. And you're going to have to give me more time in this message because I'm speaking this morning some stuff that I know people are going that need this word. There are two things I want to show you this morning. I've got one point, but there's two things I want to show you. I've already mentioned it, that's important to understand. I want you to be encouraged. I don't care how bleak or barren your life is today, because the devil's a liar. Come on, just shout, the devil is a liar. Come on, if you're going in a barren season, you need to shout, the devil is a liar.
The devil is a liar.
So remember, drop this mic. The devil is a liar. He's a liar. Two things I want you to see, and this is a word that is it's a big word for me anyway. I don't even know if I'm going to pronounce it properly. Juxtaposition. So you can tell we've got EastEnders there, isn't it? Juxtaposition. Am I pronouncing it right?
Yeah.
Almost. Juxtaposition. Juxtaposition. Take your position. Barrenness and blessing is a juxtaposition. It comes alongside each other. That's why God has big challenge in the inner city. Because there are people whose lives are messed up. And they're barren and they're looking for hope. I ain't got time to go into the story of Abraham and Sarah, but 25 years when God led them out from their father's place, a place where they remained and self-insulted they would have died. But God led them out, and on a 25-year journey, they were believing in a promise to have a child. Sarah was barren. But there was a juxtaposition. There was blessing on the other side of barrenness. And for somebody here this morning, you have to understand, no matter what you're facing going through this morning, that there's a juxtaposition in your life. You might be in the blessing, but there'll be a barren season. But there will be a season where blessing will come again. And that's why you can't give up. That's why we can't give up. That's why we're standing in the gap for London. I said it, we're not victory out of Hackney, we're victory out of Greater London. And so God speaks of a new future in Abraham and Sarah's barrenness. God speaks of new promises for Abraham and Sarah in the midst of barrenness. God speaks about blessing Abraham and Sarah in the midst of barrenness. God's word can change your reality. Your reality today might be barrenness, it might be death, it might be whatever barrenness represents for you. But God's word can change your reality. This is why we cannot settle for where we're at. We have to shift. We have to keep moving. Abraham, leave your country, leave your people, leave your father's household. Go to the place I'm going to show. You've got to keep it moving, Abraham. You've got to have faith beyond your human vision. See, many times, that's why I don't understand, man. Especially guys, man, that come out of the home. Girls who come out of the home, or people that ain't worked for a long time, and then they get a job, and then they take Sunday. And I don't get it. This should be the day that the Lord has. Now, I understand we've got to work Sunday. Some people are working and doing it. You know, I understand it. But if we are not in a place where we're under the word of God that keeps us moving, that job will keep you, man. Yeah. And you'll settle there and you won't be able to. Even in some relationships. Yeah. Some might be in relationships, God's like, I don't want you in that relationship. But we'll settle there because it's a crutch. You see, Haran represents a place to settle. It's a place where Abraham's father, come here, Sister Janet, come here. See, me and my wife were married. We're married. This is my wife. I'm her husband. The two of us are one. I ain't going nowhere. You ain't going nowhere too. We're tied together. We're bound together. When Abraham's father was in Haran, he was tied to Haran. He was bound to Haran. See, when God is telling you to keep it moving, you can't do it. See, that's why Jesus, when he called men, like Peter and Andrew and James, he said, follow me. They left everything behind. They left their families, not literally, but they left it behind. They left their businesses behind. These men were fishermen with fishing businesses. These men were merchants. But when it came time to leave it all behind, they weren't tied to what they had. My wife did that. They weren't settled where they were at. And that's the danger of this 21st century church. Unless we have a word from God, you're going to settle for where you are, you're going to be bound to your job, you're going to be bound to certain family members that don't even believe in you. Let me just stop right there, because I think you get the point. Can someone say amen? So you have to have faith beyond your human vision. God's word carries force that brings fulfillment. That means we can't settle where we're at. If God has called you, he's going to give us a vision to fulfill. And we have a vision, man. We got Isaiah 45, 2 and 3, Isaiah 54, 2 and 3, Isaiah 59, 21. Man, I can live on that. I can live on that alone. I don't have to have money in my pocket. I don't have to see the church packed out today. I don't have to be driving. No, I can drive my little beat up Renault. In fact, it's the church's Renault. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm all right. Because we have a vision to fulfill. Let's believe God for the extraordinary, even in the face of what looks contrary. But it's going to take faith. When I look at the task God's given to us, trust me, it's going to take faith. When I speak to Pastor Sunny, Sister Julie, or Pastor Paul, and they all say, man, Pastor Sunny's like, man, when he sees me, he's like, man, I'm a giant, man. How do you know God called us? Slave giant. Even in the face of what looks contrary. It might look like our future's blocked, just like Abraham and Sarah. They were old, past the age of childbearing. They could have settled for security, but God had a plan for their life, and they began a new journey. It was a journey that would have challenges, obstacles, regrets. Because how many of you know, sometimes there's things that we get caught up in that we regret. But how many of you know God still keeps it moving? God still keeps it moving. And I want to speak to anybody here. Maybe you've gone through, maybe you've messed up on the journey. God still keeps it moving. And that's why we're here today. Because it's grace. God's in control of the journey. He's going to get us from A to B to C to Z. It's going to take enormous faith on our part. It means we have to sustain our trust in God. This journey that we're on is going to be beyond our capacity. And we're going to have to trust God. And I've got one point, and we're going to close with this. One point. And it comes from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. It was the very first scripture I ever memorized in the recovery home. And it's trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge Him, acknowledge God, and He will direct your path straight. Abraham had to trust God. Leave your father's house, leave everything behind, and trust Him. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on what you know, don't lean on your vision. I'm not saying don't have a vision for your life, but does your vision fit in with this vision? In all your ways, acknowledge Him. God, you're in control. God, I don't know what's happening. I don't know how you're doing it, but you're in control. God, I'm gonna keep on going. I'm gonna keep walking by faith. Lord, I'm broke, but I'm gonna keep walking by faith. Lord, I'm single, I'm lonely, but I'm gonna keep walking by faith. God, I don't know how I'm gonna make ends meet, but I'm gonna. Lord, I'm paying more in bills, but I'm gonna keep. Because God, you said it, I believe it. I'm barren, but you spoke about blessing. I know you're going to come through. You've given me a promise. I'm holding on. I'm not letting go. I'm not turning back. I'm not going back. I'm not going to settle. I'm going to... And my point is trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. He will direct your path. The word that God gave Abraham, it begins with a promise. And this is very important. He was in a barren state, but when God gave him the word, Genesis 12, 1 through to 3, it begins with promise. Promise of a future. It's what's known as creation ex nihilo, which means out of chaos. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God spoke. Out of the chaos, out of the darkness, God brought life. Out of your darkness, out of your chaos, out of your barrenness, God can give you a word and give you life. That's everybody saying. Just bow your head and close your eyes.